When a head of government resigns, it's usually an indication that things are going other than optimally in their jurisdiction. Sometimes it's because they've screwed something up to so monumental a degree that the blame cannot be convincingly shifted elsewhere. Sometimes it's because they simply cannot get the machinery of state to work. Sometimes it's because their country and/or their colleagues are just plain sick of them. Sometimes they may even actually want to spend more time with their family.
I will be resigning as the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada. This party, this movement, needs someone who can give 100% to the efforts. And after some conversations with my kids, my loved ones, I felt it was time to put my family first.
It surely signifies, therefore, a rarefied stratosphere of dysfunction when a head of government resigns and then finds he can't quit. Such is the predicament besetting Adel Abdel Mahdi, who announced his resignation as Prime Minister of Iraq last November and remains Prime Minister of Iraq after two candidates nominated to succeed him failed to assemble a consensus among their fellow Iraqi politicians.
Iraq's president has sent his resignation letter to parliament, saying he would rather step down than approve a new prime minister.
Mahdi might be able to begin clearing his desk this week, however. Late last week, Iraq's president, Bahram Saleh, nominated Iraq's third prime minister designate in 10 weeks, and at the obvious risk of tempting fate, this one might stick. Mustafa al-Qadimi, 53, is the head of Iraq's National Intelligence Service. He is also, at least as President Saleh put it, a fighter and intellectual known for his integrity, moderation, and keenness to honour the rights of the Iraqi people. These are commodities which have been conspicuously lacking in Iraq's governance these last several decades or so.
I will offer to the parliament a cabinet as soon as possible. You'll be a government serving the people. You'll be a government of services. You will serve people in deeds, not words.
Kadhimi's nomination has so far been cautiously welcomed by interested parties inside and outside Iraq. He appears to be one of very few things on which the United States and Iran and Saudi Arabia all agree, though it is not clear whether this will help Kadhimi win the support of the actual people of Iraq, many of whom wish, not unreasonably at this point, that the United States and Iran and Saudi Arabia would find somewhere else to wage their proxy squabbles. Which is kind of how we got here. Adel Abdel Mahdi, who was only appointed Prime Minister in October 2018, quit in November 2019 after weeks of protests. Protests not so much about anything in particular as everything in general. The security forces for which Mahdi was responsible responded with panicked violence. At least 500 people were killed and tens of thousands injured. When Iraq's preeminent Shiite cleric, Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani, called on Iraq's parliament to, as he euphemistically phrased it, reconsider its options, Mahdi realized that the jig was up.
The protest-hit nation of Iraq finally has a new prime minister. President Bahram Saleh has finally appointed Mohammad Tawfiq Alavi as the new prime minister.
But the jig was not, or was not quite. Former Minister of Communications Mohammad Alawi was the first candidate anointed by President Saleh, but he couldn't even get Parliament to turn up to vote on approving his cabinet.
Breaking news out of Baghdad, and Iraq's President Bahram Saleh has just named Adnan Zurfi as the new Iraqi Prime Minister.
President Saleh then asked Adnan al-Zurfi, a former governor of Najaf, if he'd take a crack at it. But Zurfi couldn't sell himself either, not least because Iraqi Shia parties sympathetic to Iran were unhappy about his plans to rein in the Tehran-backed militias at large in Iraq, and about the fact that he initially got the governor's gig in Najaf when awarded it in 2004 by Iraq's American-led occupiers.
Well, we begin with breaking news from Iraq, where the prime minister-designate has resigned, the second to do so since anti-government protests began back in October. Adnan Al-Zerfi had until April 15th to form a new government, but there was mounting opposition from some parties to his candidacy.
Kadimi, like Zerfi and Alawi, is perceived as an independent, not beholden to any of the powerful sectarian blocs which dominate Iraq's parliament. The trouble, as Zerfi and Alawi both discovered, is that none of the powerful sectarian blocs which dominate Iraq's parliament are beholden to him either. He has to build an alliance from the ground up, and the clock is ticking. If he can't get a cabinet approved by May 9th, President Saleh will have to come up with someone else. And Iraq needs someone in charge. Aside from everything else which was going wrong, which was a great deal, Iraq also has to contend, like everyone else, with the COVID-19 pandemic, and like all major oil producers, with a cratering of the price of the commodity on which their economy depends. Oil accounts for more than 90% of Iraq's exports. As we go to air, Kadimi looks a decent chance. It seems depressingly likely, however, that he will ultimately be thwarted by the same catch-22 that has vexed his predecessors. As the demonstrators who risked their necks for a new Iraq understood, nothing much will change while power in Iraq is shared via ethno-sectarian quotas. And as things stand, the only people empowered to reform that system are the people empowered and enriched by that system. As Iraq's parliamentarians decide whether to accept or reject yet another prime minister, they should maybe pause to be more grateful that anybody wants the job. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.